scrambles left, winds up right behind. He's got time in the 10 to the 5. Yes. To the end zone. Touchdown. Darren Sproles gone. Touchdown, Eagles.
This is the Root NY Podcast, talking all things NFL. Now here's your hosts, Root NY.
Yo, 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 welcome to another episode of Woot and Why. I am Josh Y, and nope, no Josh Woot. He's off in Europe, Western Europe, fighting in soccer riots over there. Actually, he is a busy man. Unfortunately, this time of the year, he is working full-time and doing university work at the moment, so just couldn't squeeze him into the schedule this week. He had to work overtime with taking Friday off for the draft, so you've got to get priorities right, and watching the draft live is a priority. So me and Woot will be down at the King Street Brewhouse in Darling Harbour with the Sydney NFL Supporters Group. Dave Barron and Mark Stanislas and Tim Emsley and the boys down there are hosting a big bash. We were there for the Super Bowl. It was an absolute pearler of an event, and they'll do it again. They've got the big screen and the couches down there. Plenty of buckets of American beer, and it should be a good one, so come down and enjoy that. We have a special episode where we have Scott Langford from AUS Recruit and Laurie Horace from Fox Sports going through a two-round mock draft we did with Woot and myself. We took eight teams each as GMs, and we made the picks as if we were the GMs. Plenty of trades, plenty of sauciness, plenty of banter. Very, very fun. Before we get to that, just a reminder of our NFL mock draft tournament. Please email Woot and Wyatt at gmail.com if you are interested, and we can send you the form with all the rules and all that associated with it. If you have already got the form, please remember to fill it out and email it back. I've got them printed out and ready to go, and we'll mark it all off. All the rules are explained on there. There are bonus points for positive ratings on iTunes or Stitcher. We've got to get you to give us a review one way or another, so get on top of that. And let's jump straight into it. It's quite a lengthy show, a good hour, but it's two rounds, so there's a lot of prospects. It's a big group of guys that are sort of fringe first round, not talents, but first round, you know, potentially to be taken. Obviously, 32 players have to be taken in the first round, so there's a lot of players that slide out of that first round and a lot of players that hang around, so it's definitely interesting. I think we covered probably the top 60 players in the draft very well, a couple of surprises in there, so enjoy that. Joining me on the line is Laurie Horace. He works for Fox Sports. He is one half of Hard Count, your weekly NFL fix on Fox Sports, Channel 513 on the TV and also on the computer. And also joining me is a regular on the show, Scott Langford from AUS Recruit. How are you going, gents?
Pretty good. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being on. Scott, how are you?
Great to be back, Joshua. It's always good this time of year. Hello, Laurie. How are you, mate?
Not too bad, buddy. How are you doing over there? Ready for Friday?
Could not be more ready. It's going to be my birthday on Friday. I got the draft, and if this draft's any indication, we're in for a fun day.
Yeah, you might have that madman coach of yours stirring up a few things as
well. Oh, we've already got a madman GM in this draft, so...
Ooh, banter. I like it. I don't care about your birthday, Scott. All I care about is the draft. So we did a two-round mock draft. Woot also took part, but he is over fighting in soccer riots in Western Europe. So he's not joining us today.
Sadly missed.
Yeah, he will be missed. All right, so basically we had eight teams each. I'm not going to go through it now because eventually you'll figure out who's what as we go. So as commissioner of this draft, I am going to open it up. And on the clock, funnily enough, is the commissioner himself, Mr. Y, and I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And with the first overall pick in the draft, I am going to select, in shock horror, Jameis Winston, quarterback from FSU. Just makes sense, feels a need. They need a quarterback to compete. He's the best pro-ready quarterback in this draft. Less question marks on the field than Marcus Mariota. It's as simple as that.
Happy with the character concerns?
I think... it's more of a maturity thing the more I read into it, but who knows? It's a risk I think the Buccaneers are willing to take, and it's a risk I think I would take if I'm the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at one. It's just not worth trading down and then Winston's a Hall of Fame quarterback or something like that. You just would be kicking yourself for the next decade, so you got to take that chance. And worst comes to worst, if the off-the-field concerns start to come out and he doesn't play for you, you're lining up in the Connor Cook sweepstakes next year. Scott, you're up next.
Well, believe it or not, as the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm following my hero, Chip Kelly, and the Eagles are bold in this draft too. I'd like to announce a trade between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns, which involves pick number 12 in exchange for Samuel Bradford and a fourth round selection, number 113 overall, which I will then pass on to Laurie's Tennessee Titans. The Eagles will be sending picks number 2 and a fifth rounder coming to the Eagles in exchange for number 12, number 20, so 2 first round picks this year, and Michael Kendricks is going to the Tennessee Titans.
Damn.
So, with the number 2 pick, I am proud to announce the reunion of Chip Kelly and Marcus Mariota as a new quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's showtime.
Wow. Okay. Well, we've got a bit of connection problems with Laura, so we're going to have to bear with it. But yeah, it's the holy reunion of Marcus Mariota with Chip Kelly. And are you excited about this, Scott, or are you worried about selling a lot of that, of all those picks?
I'm happy with the trade. I mean, I would not want to trade up for Mariota if it was going to mortgage the future. And I know Chip Kelly sort of said the same thing, but you take that with a grain of salt. I think giving up 2 first-round picks and an established player, Laurie obviously felt that was enough for Tennessee to bite on that number 2 pick. And it certainly doesn't mortgage the future for the Eagles going forward. They don't lose any future picks. Obviously, losing Michael Kendricks hurts a little bit, but having Kiko Alonso come in this offseason sort of alleviates that. So you're giving up a fair bit, but I don't think we're mortgaging the future for it.
And Laurie, as the manager of Tennessee, are you happy with the returns you got from the trade?
Yeah, I am. I see 3 number one picks. You know, it's not my concern that Cleveland gave up an extra one to Philly and they didn't have to mortgage their future. I think that's savvy work by the Philly GM. And yeah, 3 number one picks for a team, as we know, has plenty of holes all over the place. I can now start to build spine for this unit.
Absolutely. All right, so 2 quarterbacks are off the board, and number 3 pick is the Jacksonville Jaguars, and Mr. Wooten selected Dante Fowler from Florida. Fills a need at pass rush. Thoughts on him overlooking Leonard Williams, Scott?
I thought that was the right pick. I actually thought that Jacksonville would have gone Williams here, but Fowler seems like a good fit for Jacksonville.
Yeah, I really like seeing Derek Marks in the interior line, and they brought in Jared Odrick, so I think that is more of a needs-based selection, and the talent difference might not be as big as people think. Agree or disagree, Laurie?
Look, I think, for me, Leonard Williams is the number one player in the draft. Dante Fowler's got what you want, length, versatility. There is some production in college. It's not elite. It's not Vic Beasley's production. It's not Jesus. It's not even close to Bud Dupree's. But what you do get is a very good asset to plug into Gus Bradley's defense. He can line up on the line of scrimmage. He can come from off it. He can drop into coverage and rush. So at number 3, not as polished as others, but certainly a pretty good ceiling and a pretty good lot of potential there.
Absolutely. Moving on, there's another trade involved. Yourself, Laurie.
Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons do not want to wait. They see an opportunity pounce with Oakland. They sense some hesitation from Oakland, and they'll be trading up from number 8 to number 4. And what?
We seem to have lost Laurie.
Oh dear!
It's a bad connection. It's okay. So basically, the Atlanta Falcons have traded with Oakland, traded up to number 4, and Oakland have traded down to number 8. Is that correct, Laurie?
That's correct. Sorry for the breaking up there. We're just celebrating so loudly at the fact that we're about to draft Leonard Williams, as I said, the top player in the draft, and get this new regime in Atlanta off on a good note.
Absolutely. It's probably their best defensive player on their team immediately with that selection.
Instantly.
Definitely. All right, and then to kick off the trade trend, Miami Dolphins trade up to Washington's number 5 pick. I was the GM of both teams. I can see Miami saying, "Whoa, Kevin White and Amari Cooper are still there. We want that elite wide receiver to mix with Kenny Stills, Jordan Cameron, and Jarvis Landry." And so in this instance, they trade up with Washington. They exchange the 40. They give Washington the 47th pick in the draft, and Miami send them Washington send Miami the 149th pick in the draft. So the Miami Dolphins actually choose Kevin White over Amari Cooper. The reason I chose White over Cooper is I just think he's a more of a more physical wide receiver to Cooper. Cooper reminds me of sort of Kendall Wright on steroids, but Kevin White is sort of more of a Julio Jones type ceiling, so I think he blends in nicely with the route running abilities of Kenny Stills and Jarvis Landry. And then up next with the New York Jets is Josh Woot, and he's got some easy picks here. Everything's falling nicely for the team needs and things on the board, and he selected Vic Beasley. Thoughts on that, Laurie?
I think you're laughing if you're sitting at the New York Jets, 6th overall, and a talent like Vic Beasley gets to you. Now, there's some concerns over size, but he quieted a lot of those at the combine. We're talking about spark scores, we're talking about explosiveness. This guy is off the charts and a beautiful, beautiful asset for an already pretty pieced together New York Jets front seven.
Absolutely, just chock-a-block full. Scott, kick us off with the next pick.
Well, Chicago sitting at number 7. They wanted Vic Beasley. Understandable that the Jets took him. And they're sort of looking for the defensive side of ball. And they're going to go with Bud Dupree at number 7. There's obviously a few other edge rushers and defensive ends that are in a little bit of trouble. So they're going to take a chance on Bud Dupree. He can play either the 4-3 or the 3-4. So hopefully he can plug in and be one of those monster of the midway kind of players for the Bears.
Yeah, Bud Dupree is a player that you've watched closely. Your thoughts on his fit with Chicago?
Well, you saw him drop in coverage. You also saw him on the line of scrimmage providing pass, an explosive athlete, size and speed combination. He's sensational. And the Chicago's transitioning to a different defensive front, a different stuff. And I think Bud Dupree's the type of asset that can get them a little more monster in the midway.
All right, so the benefit of the Atlanta-Oakland trade means that Oakland's on the board at 8. And Scott, who did you select for as GM of the Oakland Raiders?
Well, the Oakland Raiders took a fairly big risk here. When they wanted to trade out at number 4, they did say they wanted within the top 10 because they didn't want to let either Kevin White or Amari Cooper out of their sights. And luckily for them, Amari Cooper is still there, who they probably would have taken at 4 had they not traded back. So to have Amari Cooper on the board, probably I consider him the best wide receiver, a very versatile player, the best Alabama wide receiver in their program's history. The only knock on him is, can you name another wide receiver from Alabama apart from Julio Jones who's had too much success? Hopefully Amari Cooper can buck that trend.
Absolutely. He's a supreme athlete, only 20 years old. So the upside's there. You've got a young core now with him and Derek Carr. All right, we'll move on to the New York Giants picking next. And they need to stop having Eli Manning throw footballs, off balance or on his back. So they've selected who I think is the best offensive lineman in the draft, and that's Lael Collins from LSU. They selected an LSU player last year, and it worked out pretty damn well for them. So I think they go back to LSU, and Collins is a fit that can play guard or tackle for them for the next decade.
Yeah, that's been a Swiss cheese offensive line for a couple of seasons now. Manning didn't have as bad a season as many people, including NFC's rivals, would like to suggest. So I think that's a good move and allowing a little more time for those New York weapons to get their routes open.
And speaking of offensive linemen, Scott, you have a pick for the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, the St. Louis Rams are going to take the number one guard on the board, Brandon Scherff out of Iowa. He plugs in pretty well into that offensive line. Obviously, with Nick Foles coming into that program, they want to make sure that he can have the most success to make that trade a success for the Rams. So I'm going to give Brandon Scherff to them to protect him a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good move, and that might move Greg Robinson out to tackle where he played his college career. All right, Laurie, so with all these trades, you now have 3 selections in a row. So you want to run us through those 3?
Absolutely. Let's start off in Minnesota. You know, the Wilfs are pretty happy. They're in a higher offense than my previous teams to manage, so the reception should be a little better. We're having a little Louisville reunion in Viking country. We've got Devontae coming to hang out with his former quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. The need was their cornerback. And despite, bringing in Mike Wallace, who I don't have huge tickets on myself, I think it's a best player available situation.
Good reunion with Bridgewater. And the good thing about Parker is he was productive even without Bridgewater. So, there's a very high ceiling on him.
Productive without Bridgewater and productive coming back from an injury as well. We get so scared by guys dealing with injuries. He's already shown in college, comes back from a serious injury and lights it up. Touchdowns and yards galore. Yeah. Anyway, then to Tennessee, their first pick since moving back from two. And you look at Jarrell Casey on that front line, and they do have Sammy Hill there who provides some pass rushing for the nose tackle. But I think you put Danny Schnalzer next to Jarrell Casey, and all of a sudden you've got a force in that AFC South that a lot of offensive lines are going to struggle to deal with and scheme against.
Absolutely. We did have some technical issues, so he did say Denny Shelton is the pick for Tennessee, and lining up next to Casey is devastating. And the last of your trifecta.
Yeah, then we go to New Orleans, and no doubt that the defense is on call here, Rob Ryan. That was a terribly disappointing season from his unit. High hopes, high expectations. Injuries didn't help. So going with versatile defensive lineman Malcolm Brown, little underrated, not as spectacular a name as you might see out there, but can play anywhere from the 0 to 5 technique in that three-man front and very very helpful with the creative scheme and blitz packages and formations that Big Rob is going to bring.
I like him, and as you said, he was a star on a terrible defense. So, you put him in an NFL-style defense with some talent around him, who knows what he can do there. Now, the Washington Redskins are picking now after their trade with Miami. They were hoping for a pass rusher here, but with all these issues with players like Randy Gregory and Trane Ray, they're just going to sit and wait, and they're going to address that right tackle issue that's haunted RG3. For 4 or 5 games, because let's be honest, he hasn't started many games since his spectacular rookie year. So they take Eric Flowers out of Miami, who I think is a solid right guard. You can plug him in there. He is a big unit, and I think he helps that side and may help RG3 return to form a little bit. Woot's pick next. He was the San Francisco 49ers, and we're making this job easy for Woot, despite being off in Eastern Europe in soccer rights. He's telephoned in and said Trey Waynes, the cornerback, replacing Chris Culliver and Parrish Cox, who they lost. Thoughts on that one, Scott?
I do like that pick. The number one cornerback coming off the board. I think if he had slipped any further, we might have seen a few teams possibly trade up. I'd be surprised if he makes it to 15, but that's an extremely good pickup for the San Francisco 49ers.
Absolutely. And while you're on the line, Scott, who did you pick for the Houston Texans?
Well, the Houston Texans sort of sat back and they had TJ Clemmings fall into their lap. He'll be able to slot right in at right tackle. They've got those bookends now. They've got Dwayne Brown over at left, and they'll slot in Clemmings at the right tackle. He's still pretty raw, but incredibly powerful, and he'll probably take maybe a year to develop, but once he's developed, as I said, Texans have now got those bookends on that offensive line. It'll carry him for a few years to come.
Yeah. Thoughts on the Clemmings pick, Laurie?
Houston need to get back to what is their strength and what has been their strength, and the offensive line hasn't been as dominant in the last couple of years as perhaps it was a few before. You've got Arian Foster there. You have an unsettled quarterback situation. I don't see many better moves to make than get a young, versatile and hotly promising offensive lineman like Clemmings.
Absolutely. And we'll move on to pick 17 in San Diego. There were murmurs that they were trading up for two in this draft, and Philadelphia and Chip Kelly, as aggressive as they are, sweeped in. So to try and please Philip Rivers and make his job a little bit easier, they've probably taken one of the best players in the entire draft in Todd Gurley at running back. So it's not every day that you let go someone like Ryan Matthews and you get an instant upgrade fall into your lap at 17 cheap. The knee checks out, and with Philip Rivers and Todd Gurley, the AFC West should be a little bit more scared than usual.
He's a special talent, and anybody concerned about this is running back since Trent Richardson, who we don't like to talk about too much, just have a look at the tape. Not only does he have size and speed, he can take it up the guts, he can take it and turn the corner, but anytime you're within 2 or 3 yards of the first down marker, he runs with an attitude, this is mine, and I'm not stopping short of getting myself a fresh set of pegs for my team.
Absolutely. Scott, you like Todd Gurley as well.
I love Todd Gurley. I've loved watching him through college. What he achieved with Georgia this year before he got hurt, and or even before he got suspended, it was going to be a phenomenal year. He was a Heisman candidate, easily the best running back in this draft class.
Even someone like myself, who's a huge Melvin Gordon fan, can't deny Todd Gurley of that crown. Scott, you are involved in yet another trade. So I'm sensing a vibe from you, Scott, when you're on our show. You're either extravagant with trades and bold predictions. So what's this trade and who have you selected?
Well, there's usually about six trades per year, so we might as well make some trades. Yep. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, I can foresee a secondary run happening over the next 5 to 10 picks, and Pittsburgh sort of falls in the middle of that. So they're going to leapfrog over a few teams, trade with KC, and they're going to replace one of their greatest players in franchise history, strong safety, with another very physical safety in Landon Collins. Mm. Not great in coverage, but certainly he amplifies that physicality that you know from Pittsburgh Steelers defensive players.
Absolutely. And Troy Polamalu coming out wasn't known as a coverage guy either. And you pick up those skills under good coaching, and I think that he's landed in a spot where he's going to be able to get the best of the best to helping him out. And Laurie, you were involved in that trade as well, so you dealt, you were Kansas City, you're happy to trade down.
Well, I was picked up another third round pick. You know, Kansas City made the trade a few years ago for Alex Smith. It cost him a couple of pretty high value picks, and when you do that, you lose out on depth, and you can see that on the Kansas City roster now. And I just thought an ability to pick up another third rounder in this kind of draft with flat talent is an opportunity to take.
So Landon Collins is off the board, and Cleveland, after acquiring Sam Bradford, finally have their first pick that they have acquired last year in the draft from Buffalo, and they need some wide receiver help for their new quarterback, Sam Bradford. So they take Breshad Perriman, wide receiver, a tall, fast receiver from UCF, blazed it up in his pro day, garnered the first round talent. He should be a force for Sam Bradford. Would you agree, Laurie?
I do. I mean, Breshad Perriman, you're hearing some poor man's Dez Bryant talk out of some scouts. That's some pretty high praise, and you guys know just how big a Dez fan I am. I've got the Christmas jumper to prove it. But, you know, there's some unpolished features of his route running, but he's explosive, big hands. He does have some drops, but they're concentration drops more than a technique thing. The guy can make spectacular catches. Sometimes he makes them a little harder than he needs to, but size, speed, length, and just a potentially dominant weapon on the outside.
And while you're on the line, Laurie, you're going to make the second pick for Tennessee that they acquired from Philadelphia.
Well, Tennessee needs to start building from the middle out. That's how bad teams can start to take steps towards being competitive, and it's going to be DJ Humphreys, talented as they come as a offensive lineman. Great feet, great lower body. And we can put him on a line that already features Chance Womack and his slim down belly, Taylor Lewan, and really start to move forward and give our Zach Mettenberger a chance to show us what he's got going forward.
Yeah, well, he's got that long release, so getting some protection to allow him to fling that arm down the field would absolutely help them. Chance Womack was outstanding the last 6 weeks of the year. You know, one of the premier guards in the league. He finally clicked with him, and such a Tennessee GM you are, trading away a Marcus Mariota potentially to a defensive tackle and an offensive tackle. That's very Tennessee like.
As I said, this team needs a spine, and I think I've gone and got them one.
Thoughts on that, Scott?
No, I definitely like that pick. I thought Tennessee did pretty well from that trade. Obviously, Philadelphia are happy with it. But for Tennessee to get some great young pieces to build towards, I thought Laurie did a fantastic job. They're not sexy picks, but they're not awful. Tennessee Titans a really good future.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at it now, you've got Shelton lined up again with Casey. They've got Brian Arakpo and Derek Morgan on the outside. And now you've got Michael Kendricks in the middle. That's a good, you know, not a outstanding front seven, but it's definitely probably up there with the Houston Texans in that division. JJ Watt obviously gives them a huge advantage, but it's nothing to snarl about, and the Colts will have to game plan for that accordingly.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, a big part of that is back, but what do you get out of him? Do you get the player you saw, you know, 3-4 years ago, or do you get the sense, and that'll make all this go, especially with some of these big boppers up front.
Absolutely. And speaking of big boppers up front, how about that transition, boys?
Segway
transition, whatever. Just kill my vibe, guys. Cincinnati, you're on the clock, and Mr. Wooten has selected Andres Pete, just fell into his lap. Woods just, you know, it's very calm and patient. No trades from him. Just everything's falling nicely in place. And Cincinnati get what some people think is the best tackle in the draft. When you read reports of Andrus Peat, some see him going top 10 and others see him falling out of the first. So very mixed reviews from him. I like him. I think his tape from 2013 is better than 2014. But, you know, he can easily return to that form. Thoughts on that one, Laurie?
Yeah, I think the reason you do get those mixed opinions, if you go from the game-to-game tape, does stand out getting beat up at times, but then you see a very, very talented, very very technically savvy with enough functional power to operate at the NFL level. And he may very well be the most pro-ready, but like I said, it's because you have those splash plays that can cause doubt. As well as inspire some to think he is that top 10 pick.
Absolutely. And as Shane P. Hallam on our show last night said, he had a very strong butt, which is apparently...
Bubble butt.
You're very essential to being an offensive lineman. And, Laurie, you've got the next two picks. Hopefully we never hear Scott say bubble butt again. So, Laurie, let's swing to your next two picks.
I'm not sure if Cameron Irving has bubble butt, but what does do is fill a very nice hole in the middle of KC's line. He's a guy they were eyeing to move back and try and target. Rodney Hudson left to Oakland Raiders within the division, and you want to run the ball. This is what Kansas City built around, you know, the running game provided by Jamaal Charles and to a lesser extent Nile Davis, and Cam Irving allows that from the get-go and can fill in at other spots in a bind.
Mm. Absolutely. Can play pretty much any position along that line, and when he, you know, slid in at center, it was just impressive. I was kind of hoping he'd fall to Indianapolis in my lap, but I'm happy to see him in Kansas City, where he'll be used effectively in fantasy football terms because he'll be making holes for Jamaal Charles. Next pick, you are Detroit, the Motor City.
Motor City, and they need a little defensive stoutness on the back end. You know, Rashard Mathis isn't getting any younger. I think he's at least 46. So we're getting actually my top corner in the draft, Kevin Johnson. I think he can play off man, he can play press, he can run with you. He's got amazing feet. He doesn't lose any distance and give separation at the top of routes and it breaks. So I think he's a great addition to join Slay and Mathis on that defensive backfield.
Yeah, I agree. Kevin Johnson's my number one corner in the draft. I really like him. And Wake Forest were just horrid team last year, and he managed to, you know, you watch his tape. It's hard, such a terrible defense for a corner to shine like that. Would you agree, Mr. Langford?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I studied a fair few of the cornerbacks in this draft, just knowing that it is a need of the Eagles. And Kevin Johnson was one of those guys who just leaped off the screen for me. Definitely one of the top cornerbacks in this draft class, and I think Detroit would be laughing to have him in there.
Absolutely. And speaking of cornerbacks, Arizona, despite Melvin Gordon being on the board, they're going to pair Byron Jones, who's probably the most athletic cornerback in the draft in terms of their combine footage and abilities, and they pair him with Patrick Peterson in terms of their abilities. They lost Antonio Cromartie. Tyrann Mathieu had some issues, and they sometimes play him at safety. They sort of change him around. So I think Byron Jones can be very versatile in that secondary, and it's a piece for that secondary, especially in that division. You need to have a strong defense. So I think Byron Jones and Nola maybe address the running back position later in the draft.
Yeah, that's definitely a strong pick. He's the kind of guy I want at the Philadelphia Eagles. I spoke about players who jump off the screen. This guy literally jumps off the screen.
Yeah.
I don't care how big or wide receivers are, this guy's going to be able to get up and contest the ball. Amazing, amazing athlete.
Yeah, and it's not even the combine, the numbers, the footage, you know, backs it up for Connecticut. He was a phenomenal player, and I really enjoyed watching him play. All right, Woot, next pick. It was a bit of a surprise for Carolina. Finally, Woot's had something where he's had to knuckle down and make a decision, and he selected an Oregon player, which I'm shocked about. And he selected Jake Fisher, tackle for Carolina, which I actually don't mind that pick. Might be a bit of a homer considering he's an Oregon fan, but I think Fisher is definitely a first-round talent, and I think Carolina need a tackle, and that fills a need. Would you agree, Laurie?
Yeah, it's a need pick, but it's also not bad value. I like that he went off the board in the first round because I do think that's where he's going to go. Like you said, some versatility there, and that was a glaring weakness on their team, the offensive line. You know, Carolina, it's not exactly the strongest division in the NFL, and if they can start beefing up that front, give a little more protection to Cam in the run game, which Fisher provides, I think it's a great way forward.
All right, the next pick, Baltimore Ravens. They need a cornerback and a wide receiver. They need to... they need to get fast, and they need someone to replace Torrey Smith. And I've gone with a bit of a smoky here. Even though Nelson Aguilar is still on the board, I think they want someone who has blitzing speed, easy speed, someone for Flacco to really release with that long arm. And I think they're going to take Philip Dorsett. And I'm going to throw to you, Scott, because I know you have a huge man crush for Dorsett.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen last year, you know I love Jordan Matthews, and for obvious reasons, I still do love him. But Philip Dorsett would be my Jordan Matthews of this year. The only reason he wasn't really regarded coming out in this draft class is because of his knee. But all of those problems seem to have disappeared. He's going at 100%. And, I mean, he is, to me, Antonio Brown light. He is blitzing fast and definitely deserving of a first-round pick.
Yeah, and I've heard those Antonio Brown's comparisons, and normally you turn your nose up at such crazy comparisons, but I see a lot of it in him, and I think Miami didn't use him, you know, to his full capacity. I think he has got a lot to give a team, and with Flacco's arm, I think he's going to be a match made in heaven. All right, Laurie, thoughts on that before you make your pick for your Dallas Cowboys. Sorry, man.
That's charming of you guys. That's right. We're happy running the East. No, look, speed kills. And it's with a hose like Joe Flacco, and that's not anything too rude there, guys. I'm just talking about his arm strength. You love the matchup there. You love how he can utilize it. But, you know, we're talking about man crushes. I'm going to my man crush. My next pick, Dallas. Owamabe Odigizuwa.
Oh, you put the name right as well. I'm going to clap
that. I can do it one more time if you like. Oh, Owamabe Odigizuwa. This is a guy, talk about leaping off tape. You're a phenomenal athlete. You see the strength in the upper body. He bursts off that line of scrimmage like few others that I see in this class. Perhaps, I know you talk about Shane Ray's first step and Vic Beasley's explosive, so strong, can beat you with the step to the outside, can bull rush you, can move inside on nickel downs. And you see, once he gets his hands on your quarterback, it's over. He doesn't let guys out of his grasp.
No. Yeah, I love him. I personally didn't want to pick him because I didn't want to pronounce his name. Just a disclaimer. I'm terrible at names. I'm sure you guys know a lot of times on the show I've regularly... there you go. I cannot pronounce names properly at all. So I love the pick. I like the player. I can't wait to watch Phil Collins is going to sing a song about Owa. I can't wait to them pronouncing his name on Monday Night Football. There's been another trade, Scott. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I am the general manager of the Denver Broncos, and it's funny. The Oakland Raiders thought they'd won by still being able to get Amari Cooper in the first half of the draft, but they're going to parlay one of the second-round picks, or the second-round pick they got from Atlanta, send that to Denver as a trade, because there is a running back on the board. You got Derek Carr last year. You've got Amari Cooper so far in this draft. Ladies and gentlemen, the Oakland Raiders now have maybe the best young triplets in the league because Melvin Gordon is an Oakland Raider.
What about Latavius Murray?
No, well, you don't pass on a megastar like Gordon. I don't have to convince you the kind of player that Melvin Gordon is. Why?
Yep.
When you've got a chance to jump up, they're not really losing much. Obviously, they got that pick from Atlanta in this draft, so they're using that to good use. And being able to surround Derek Carr with two explosive playmakers, I think the Oakland Raiders could definitely go a long way if they have these three stars. They've obviously got a lot more building to do, but a guy like Melvin Gordon definitely helps them a hell of a lot, especially over Latavius Murray.
Pardon?
Especially over Latavius Murray. Yeah.
Laurie, your thoughts on Melvin Gordon, the Oakland Raiders trading up for him?
I think, you know, you have Latavius Murray there, but Melvin Gordon is a talent. I'm not as high on him as some others, and I don't want to hurt your feelings because I know you're a big Wisconsin fan.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I think, you know, you are giving Derek Carr a chance. You know, you're giving Peace a chance. You got Amari Cooper. You got Melvin Gordon. Beef up that line. Make sure all these assets have time to operate. And I think Oakland are starting to take some steps that we thought they would be building to last season.
Yeah, and I think when you look what they did in free agency, they brought in Hudson and Gabe Jackson last year panned out well at guard. So there are pieces in place there on that line. They may address it later on as well in the draft, but I think there are pieces there. It's not the worst offensive line in the league, but it's not anywhere near to being the best. But, you know, Melvin Gordon is a guy that can, you know, make space for himself. All right, I'm going to move to my beloved Colts. And I was a bit iffy about this pick because someone like Randy Gregory has fallen to us, and they're going to take Randy Gregory here. I just think that the locker room that the Colts have with Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton and the smart people around them, that they can, and Adam Vinatieri, players like that can really help clear up Randy Gregory's issues. I'm hoping it's just a, you know, phase and that he'll be fine. There's obviously risk involved. You know, Josh Gordon's name rings a bell, and the fact that Gregory is, you know, there is concerns that there's an addiction there. But I just think at this you know, point in the draft, the Colts need a playmaker, a star on defense. Robert Mathis hasn't been there for a while with injury. I think if you can get a healthy Robert Mathis and then pair Randy Gregory, who may be one of the best, you know, could be the best pass rusher in this draft, pair opposite them, that gives them, you know, brings me back memories to Freeney and Mathis from, you know, 2006 when we beat the Bears.
Yeah, you're swinging for the fences here, but, you know, Randy Gregory's talent's undeniable. You know, he's a scheme fit.
Mm.
And, you know, the question over the use of marijuana is there. It was obviously consistent throughout college. You know, we heard Dane Brugler say that, stop testing him, he's going to fail and he's going to be off the field. That's so right. You have that there. But, boy, I mean, if he comes off, he could have a, you know, a Charles Haley-like effect on this team.
Look, at this point, the Colts have holes, but I think they're a team that is willing to take a chance, and we've seen Grigson take chances in the past. Some have worked out, like Vontae Davis. Others, not so much. Trent Richardson. So we'll leave it there. And I think, speaking of off-the-field issues, Scott, I think you may have a off-the-field issue here with Green Bay.
Yeah, I think Green Bay, much like Indianapolis, when you're on the verge of a Super Bowl and you've got one of those better teams in the league, you can afford to take a few risks, especially with your first round pick. And I think Green Bay is looking at Shane Ray in that light. Obviously, his turf toe issue is probably his bigger issue over his off-field issues. You know, the events of today don't shine a very good light, and I think his magnet will be taken off a fair few boards. But like Indianapolis, I think Green Bay are willing to take that risk. If it doesn't pan out, then they've still got a fantastic team. But if it does, you know, they've got a Pro Bowl defensive end for the next, you know, 10 years. So it's a risk they're willing to take for the Green Bay Packers. They need to beef up that defense. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers has the offense rolling. That defense needs to be able to keep other offenses off the field.
Yep. Laurie, who are you more concerned about, Randy Gregory or Shane Ray, in terms of their off-the-field issues? Who do you have more faith in?
I have more faith in Shane Ray. Randy Gregory, you know, I do have questions over, you know, his linear build, whether he can put on enough weight to really be impactful. But, yeah, that story of how much he was going to weed, going to marijuana to cope with a variety of issues throughout university, it scares me more than, you know, Shane Ray, that's just knucklehead.
Yeah.
A1 category. I mean, getting caught in the week of the draft. I mean, you can't type this stuff up. But
you can't. Well, we'll go the opposite to off the field issues in your selection for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I want. I'm looking at the New Orleans Saints inside linebacker corner. I'm seeing names like Hawthorne and Ellaby, and that's just not going to cut it. So I'm going to help out Rob Ryan again with a second first round pick with Eric Kendricks. This guy, natural in coverage. Great vision, instinctive, has the physical attributes to excel at the next level. You know, some analysts have him as high as a top 10 pick. I love him in this spot, and I love what he can do for the Saints.
Yeah, he's one of my favourite players in the draft. I didn't want to pick him for the Colts because I've done that too many times. So I just thought I'd try and be different. And other mocks, Randy Gregory hasn't been at my lap, but I really love Eric Kendricks, and he, you know, I think he might be even better than Michael Kendricks, Scott.
No, Eric Kendricks is definitely a good player. I was a little bit surprised that Laurie went with two defensive players. Obviously, both the guys they picked up, Brown and Kendricks, are going to be a fantastic duo to have on that team. But, you know, with the losses of Stills and Jimmy Graham this year, I thought potentially a new weapon for Drew Brees, but I'm not going to knock
Nelson Aguilar still on the Nelson Aguilar still on the clock there. I thought maybe Laurie would have gone with him for sure.
I think there's a offensive weapon that's going to come out of the woodwork for the Saints this year. And just because I know there's a couple of people in my fantasy football competitions that will be listening, I'm not going to say his name, but I do think with that on the roster...
It's Nick Toon. It's Nick Toon.
It's certainly not Toontown Nicky Toon. But, and with some of the depth of wide receivers we go to the draft, I think this presented the best meeting of value and a position of need and just a quality of player.
And the last pick of the first round before we jump right into the second, we're making good time here, and we do apologise for any technical issues with Laurie, but generally from what I can hear, it's coming through A-OK.
Apologies.
Yeah, it's okay. It's, you know, Fox Sports, they're doing really good work.
We are.
We're kidding. The last pick of the draft, the New England Patriots select Marcus Peters, who he's off the field issues to do with coaching, just flat out, you know, getting involved in brawls with coaches and arguments and spouts. I think this is a great fit because if you do that to Bill Belichick, he will just put you on a practice squad, like, or not in a practice squad, but he'll keep you on the active roster and just will not play you. And he'll learn fast, you know, baptism by fire, and the talent falling to 32 like that is pretty damn good.
Yeah, no, I definitely like that pick. I mean, Bill Belichick's the kind of guy who you can rush for 200 yards on his team and then be dropped the next week. So Marcus Peters, that's a good spot for him to land. As you said, with his coaching issues, that's a really good spot for him. And if any team's going to be able to get the maximum potential out of him, because he's a fantastic player, New England can certainly be that team.
Yeah, not to mention there was an exodus of cornerbacks in New England this year. You know, they had to operate on an island last season, so that's what Peters can do. He's a man. He's a man-to-man corner. He'll stick with you and stay on your hip pocket.
It's not Revis, but it at least minimises the damage to a degree. Before we jump straight into round two, general thoughts on round one. You guys will start with Scott.
I thought that was a pretty decent round. I think most of the guys who should be coming off... run off that round. I don't think there were any reaches. There was nobody in that first round that I didn't think should be there, but certainly a handful of surprises in terms of who slid.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm shocked Nelson Aguilar didn't get selected, and maybe if Denver didn't trade down, I think Cedric Ogbui might have been selected there. Laurie?
Yeah, I think you're certainly seeing the recency effect with some of the guys like Gregory Ray slipping as far down as they did. But no, I don't see any huge reaches. I think a lot of the time we were going for best player available. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of desperation and need, and no one likes desperation and need any part of life, really.
Preach. All right, moving on to round two, and we'll start with Mr. Hard Count Laurie with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, we went all trenches and beef early on, but now I want some flash. Doral Green Breckham, better known as DGB, welcome to the Tennessee Titans. Now we're really going to see what that arm of young Mettenberger can do with a target like Green Beckham's size. It's freakish what he offers. Obviously, you've got some concerns off the field, but we've looked into that and we're happy at the top of the second round.
Yeah, well, I feel sorry for ESPN, you know, score center updates. If there's a lot of Mettenberger to Green Beckham touchdowns, that's not going to fit on the line. That's a mouthful. They're not going to get that typed up in time. That's a lot of characters. Are you worried about his character concerns, though?
I think the fact that he put in a full year working at New School, he moved to Oklahoma, was never going to play, and knew that, and by all accounts, dug deep, got to the grind and really pushed through for a year of hard work and kept himself in physical shape and around a football team and supported a football team that he was never going to be on field. That does assuage some of the worries that you do
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely. That makes you feel a little bit better. And to have a guy with the surname Beckham in terms of wide receiver, you got a bit of royal blood maybe from Odell Beckham. We'll move to pick 34 in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've selected their quarterback, their franchise quarterback. Now they need to keep him upright. The Tampa Bay, if the New York Giants O-line Swiss cheese, then I think the Tampa Bay O-line maybe some turnstiles. So they need to beef up, and they're going to take Cedric Ogbui from Texas A&M to keep Jameis Winston's safe, so he can start launching some gems to Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. Thoughts on that, Scott?
I definitely like that pick for all the reasons you said. He's the kind of guy I thought, as you said, Denver could have easily taken him at the back end of the first round. So Denver do have the next pick and would have taken him. So that's a really good pick for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to swoop in and grab him.
So who did Denver take now that Ogbuie is off their board?
Well, Ogbuie was their target. I had one trade that worked out with the guy I wanted still being there. This time it hasn't worked out. But with the loss of a guy like Pot Roast on that team, and Sylvester Williams currently slated to play the nose tackle position, I'm going to pick Eddie Goldman to jump in and fill in that spot. He'll be a really good space eater for many years to come for the Denver Broncos, and hopefully they won't miss a beat having lost Pot Roast.
I like that pick. Not a huge Goldman in the first round fan, but I think at the top of the second is probably a really good fit for him. Would you agree, Laurie?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the production I want to see out of Eddie Goldman for someone who has really good mobility for his size. He seems to be an almost player. I don't see enough finish plays, but in this spot with the right coaching, you know, the system, you know, he's going over to Wade Phillips in Denver. I think there is a bit of upside for a guy like Eddie Goldman, who with a little extra pass rush than he might think as well.
All right, we'll move on. Woot had the next two picks. The Jacksonville Jaguars selected Nelson Aguilar, which is a bit of a shock. It's a good value, but I thought wide receiver is a position that they're currently loaded at, especially with the murmurs of Justin Blackmon, despite the photo popping up of him looking like an offensive lineman. Interesting fit, but maybe Woot's not convinced Allen Hurns is a solid number three receiver.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised by this one too. They have got a fairly good wide receiver group, but they're obviously all very young. So, you know, you can never be too sure how they're all going to pan out. Allen Hurns might have just been a one-hit wonder. Justin Blackmon, you really haven't seen for a few years. Marquise Lee had a second-round pick last year around this same spot. Didn't really do too much for him. So I'm not going to knock the pick, but, yeah, I am surprised to see him take a wide receiver here.
All right. The New York Jets then select Laken Tomlinson, guard. This was a better pick, I think. Really good. Fills a need for the Jets and their passing and running game, Laurie.
Yeah, well, this is the Jets' identity, you know. They need to be strong up front. We don't know who's going to be the signal caller behind that line, but a guy like Laken Tomlinson, you have seen him come off the board in a lot of two-round mocks around this spot. I think it is a meeting. You know, it might be a touch early, but if you want a guy, you go get him. Yeah. That's a theory. That's what you've got to do when the seconds are winding down on the clock.
Absolutely. And we see this all the time. A lot of linemen get bumped up draft boards because we have a run of them. And we had that in the first round with, you know, Humphreys, Pete and Irving going, you know, in a row. And then Jake Fisher and TJ Clemmings as well. So we'll move on to Washington. And this is their second round pick. They do have another pick later on that they acquired from Miami. But with this pick, they take PJ Williams. They're convinced that after the DUI got dismissed today, that he can fill a need in their secondary opposite Bashard Breeland, who I think is a fantastic young corner. Laurie?
PJ Williams, for me, it's two sides of a very frustrating coin. His on-field tape, I absolutely fell in love with. He's a fighter. He's down for that dogfight right on the outside. He wants to be left alone. He hits you hard in the run game. He can cover you on crossing routes. I love the way I think he shows some real good potential turning and locating the ball and combating the ball at the catch point, whether that's going for interceptions or spoiling and disrupting the pass.
His tape against Devontae Parker is probably the best. You know, when I watched Parker and Williams go at it, was when I was watching tape. That was the most enjoyable tape I think I watched in preparation for this draft. It was blow for blow. It was like watching Mayweather and Pacquiao, which we're expecting soon. So they've got him paired up with Bashard Breeland. Now over to Chicago Bears and Scott.
Yeah, Chicago Bears are going to fill that hole left by Brandon Marshall. Jalen Strong is still on the board. He'll be able to slot in perfectly at that number two wide receiver spot opposite Alshon Jeffrey. Amazing body control. He's the son of an NBA legend out of Philadelphia, John Rankin. So he has those attributes as a fantastic athlete, still a bit raw. He's not going to be a home run hitter like Brandon Marshall could be, but definitely a very good red zone threat. And he'll slot in perfectly behind Alshon Jeffrey, I think, for the Bears.
I trust you to know that he is, you know, related to a Philadelphia legend. I'm glad he didn't come off the board in the first round. I think he's a second-round talent. A lot of his tape was contested passes, which concerns me. The lack of separation concerns me. So I think, you know, in the second round, that's a probably good, that's a good fit for him. All right, moving on to the New York Giants. And after picking Lael Collins in round one, they go to the other side of the ball and they take Shaq Thompson. They need a safety and they need a linebacker, so they select someone that can play both. I think they might move him around a bit, but they need a linebacker, and Shaq Thompson, I think, is a good fit in their defense. Laurie?
Yeah, well, whether they get creative with him in kind of dime and big nickel formations, I'm not sure. But Shaq Thompson, what does stand out, he sees, he goes. His mind and his legs, both capable, and they work in unison. You don't see any wasted movement. You know, the size isn't elite for a linebacker prospect, but oh my, he's just, he flies to the ball. I'm a big fan, and I think he's the type of asset you might need in the NFCs for some of the offensive threats going around.
And he's such a unique talent that they, you know, I don't know how creative Coughlin can get, but maybe, you know, Ben McAdoo might want to dial him up on offense as well. Scott, you've got two picks in a row. Let's pump them out.
St. Louis picked first. I'm going to go cornerback. There's a few guys I could have taken off the board, but with the cornerback, I like a guy with size. So Jalen Collins was who I went with. I don't think he's the best of the remaining cornerbacks, but I do think he's got that physicality and that size to be able to contend. It's going to be a lot of work to progress him, but I think he's a high-risk, high-reward kind of guy that St. Louis is willing to take.
Yeah, he's definitely an interesting prospect. We asked a lot of our analysts about him, and the reviews were fairly mixed. So we'll ask one more person what he thought watching the tape, and that's Laurie Horish.
Look, Jalen Collins, you know, you hear the stories that he got dropped a couple of times from his starting gig, but when you watch the tape, the speed and the size are fantastic. He's long. He's a willing tackler. You see the flashes of him being able to go one-on-one with a man, operate on comeback routes, stick tight and basically blanket him, but you do see him get burned. You see some lapses, whether it's judgment, concentration, I don't know. You know, there's a reason he's Mike Mayock's number two cornerback. For me, it's not that high, but at this point, I think it's a fair value.
It is a fair value. And speaking of value, Oakland's pick, Scott, run us through.
Yeah, very similar to Laurie's line of thinking earlier. I was going to sort of look at the offensive line here. Obviously, having got a couple of offensive threats and Derek Carr, someone to protect him. But bringing in Hudson obviously was a fantastic move, and I saw Arik Armstead on the board, and I thought that is just too good to pass up. He's going to be a perfect addition to that defense. Obviously, Khalil Mack was a great get last year, and hopefully Armstead can be a very productive player for the Oakland Raiders. So I'm going to address the defense with this third pick for them.
Yeah, Armstead's an interesting guy. I can see him going the top, you know, as high as 15 to San Fran, and then and it's just bizarre that he just magically sort of just didn't pop up anywhere down the bottom there of the first round. So for Oakland to, you know, walk away now from this these two rounds with Leonard Williams, Amari Cooper and Arik Armstead is quite incredible. That's good GM work, Mr. Langford.
Well, we didn't get Leonard Williams, but we did get Melvin Gordon.
That's true. Oh, sorry. Yes. Apologies. His pick now for the Cleveland Browns is definitely an interesting one. I think it's a bit of a reach. I can't pronounce his name, so I'm going to pass it over to Scott to pronounce his name.
Tyson Brailo.
Yes.
Sambralo.
Yeah.
However you want to say it. Interesting pick. I'm not quite sure what Woot's line of thinking was here, but okay, it does fit a need for Cleveland. What are your guys' thoughts on it?
I mean, this is a guy you've heard spoke about in the second round. It fills a need. Like you said, Cleveland just weren't plain effective on offense last year. Whether Sambrillo's the pick I go with some of the other names on the board, like Donovan Smith, I'm not sure. But, you know, you start getting the second, third round and boards vary.
Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle, he could probably be an upgrade at that position for them. But with all their other holes, it's just a little bit interesting. I thought maybe they could go outside linebacker here, maybe in a Eli Harold or something like that. But that's an interesting pick, and that's why we do these activities. Laurie, you had the next two picks with the New Orleans Saints and the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, well, look, I tell you, there's a lot of Saints support in the Fox Sports building, especially in the newsroom, so I'm under a little bit of pressure here. I've got one big guy named Big Roars that's eyeing me down, making sure that I take care of his boy, Drew Brees. So I went with AJ Cann. You know, it's no surprise the Brees was under a bit of heat last year. There's a glaring hole at guard. I think Cann can come in. He's not pretty. He's not the most polished, but there's no glaring holes in his game. He can help out in that run, and he can really help out in the run game that they're looking to stress this year with CJ Spiller and Mark Ingram.
And the Can-Can is very popular in New Orleans.
Yeah, cultural fits. You're right. You're all over them.
Yes, because he can. Sorry about that. I had to do it. I had to do it.
That's
Minnesota. We'll run us through that pick, Laurie.
Ronald Darby's not a guy whose tape I thought was as good as his teammate PJ Williams. He's a lot cleaner off the field. You know, actually, he's a bit cleaner. He's not a lot cleaner. Again, vertical speed to cover. He can really lay a hit. There's a couple of moments when you're going through the game tape where he really plants one. Not a guy that if a receiver cops a shot from him, he's not going to be too happy going over the middle or going up for jump balls again. So I think, again, a good value spot, a position that they really need, and pair him up with Xavier Rhodes, and he can learn under Terrence Newman.
I like that pairing. I really like Xavier Rhodes. All right, we'll move on to Woot's next pick for the San Francisco 49ers. And I like this pick. I think it's value. And it, you know, they could have drafted Armstead in round one, but you know, if you can land Trey Waynes in round one and then land Preston Smith in round two, I think you're doing okay. He's a great talent on that defensive line, and with the rumors about Justin Smith, he could definitely fill a need. I know, Laurie, you've watched Preston Smith, and interested on your thoughts on him.
Yeah, he was a guy that was brought to my attention as an end in a 4-3, a left end. But what I saw was most of his productive rushing and pass rushing was coming when he kicked inside to the three technique on third down and passing situations. So to be honest, seeing him at the 5-technique, I love that fit a whole lot more than a 4-3. He's got really strong arms, good hand usage, great length, and a swim move that when he moves inside against those bigger bodies like guards, they can't handle his quickness. It's just you see some players that they get moved from outside in just a little bit, and all of a sudden they can take advantage of their natural traits. And yeah, I think it's a great fit, great spot.
Absolutely. And the thing with Smith is, and Brugler brought this up, has brought that up, is that his birth of his child also, they think that he had something extra to play for. So that might explain his sort of form spike as well. So that could be a sort of off the field reason for the form increase. Scott, your thoughts on that pick?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great value pick, just like their first round pick was. For all the reasons you guys have hashed, I'm not going to go back over them. San Francisco obviously have a fantastic defense the last 5 years, and it's sort of dropped off a little bit with a couple of their losses, but Preston Smith slotting in there should hopefully help them return to a bit of dominance.
Yep, absolutely. And with the next pick, was Miami's, but Washington has acquired it via the trade in round one, and they're going to go secondary again. They tossed up Eli Harold here, but their secondary is awful. We've got PJ Williams paired with Breland now, and I think Eric Rowe can play corner or safety, and I think he's going to fit in nicely. He has a really high floor at free safety, and I think he's a definite upgrade and gives you young, speedy players in that secondary. And you have to have that when you're playing, you know, against Chip Kelly and Dez Bryant and now Odell Beckham twice a year. So you need a secondary to compete in the NFC East.
Absolutely. He gives that size as well, that length outside. And, you know, you look at Eric Rowe, you've given them PJ Williams as well. They've got Breland, who I'm a fan of, a real fighter, and gave Des Bryant some real trouble. And they signed Chris Culliver, so he might have some roles floating back to safety as well. And you can't find a good safety these days. So.
No, absolutely. You've got that secondary like that. And I think they could use him at safety for the time being and then maybe move him into corner position. All right, I've got the San Diego's next pick, and this might be a bit of a reach, but I love this player. I really like this player. I've spoken to a lot of people about him, including Josh Buchanan, who just released his small school draft guide. So follow him on Twitter at JoshNFLDraft. His small school guide is free. It's a must read. There's a lot of players that people don't know about that you need to keep an eye on in, you know, round five, six, and seven. So they've picked Ali Marpet, they need help at guard, and they need a center long term. They went through centers last year, like toilet paper rolls, I guess. I don't have any other comparisons, but they just every time a center stepped up, he seemed to get injured. So I think he is the long term answer at center. Scott, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought Marpet was probably a second, third round. I thought he might have come off the board this round, but I was sort of thinking third. But like I said to you before the show, he's definitely a guy who's raised a lot of eyebrows, being a school guy. And I think this is a nice little fit in San Diego around about this point.
And I know, Laurie, you're a fan of Ali as well.
Yeah, I think you've got to appreciate a guy as well who was at a Division III school playing against, you know, I've heard it termed, you know, lawyers and butchers or accountants. And what he did was take a professional attitude to his prospects as a pro. You know, he worked hard to keep the weight up, to work on the technique. And there's a reason that, you know, he stood out at the Shrine game and the All Star games and earned himself this reputation and this this chance to go so high.
Yeah, exactly. And they reckon he manhandled Denny Shelton at the Senior Bowl, which is you know, an accomplishment on its own. We'll move on to Kansas City next with Laurie. You've taken Irving in the first round. You've gone defense this round.
Yeah, look, that secondary needs some help. They did retain some players, but they need some help at cornerback. And, you know, their free safety, Abdullah, is not getting any younger either. So you get a guy like Quinton Rollins, 1 year of production, we know the story. And for those of you who don't, he was a basketball player all the way through, decided, no, I'm going to give this football a go out at Miami of Ohio. Not Miami of Florida, and stood out with an incredibly high number of interceptions and pass breakups. So I think it is a slight projection, but he's a natural. He understands leverage naturally, he understands body positioning naturally, and the fight for the contest that comes from playing basketball.
And shout out to Quinton for actually notifying the rest of the world that there is a Miami in Ohio. Moving on, Buffalo was up next, and Woots, they're finally on the clock, and Woots run to the podium and selected Eli Harold, who, you know, Daniel Jeremiah is a huge fan on. I still can't see it, but I think that's a good selection for them. Preston Brown can fill that need inside, and Eli Harold sort of replaces Kiko Alonso there that they lost in that Philadelphia trade for LeSean McCoy. Scott?
Yeah, no, I definitely like this pick. He was a guy that I was eyeing off. The Philadelphia Eagles have got a pick coming up soon, and had he still been on the board, he would have been the guy. So I was a bit disappointed to see him come off the board here at Buffalo. But that's definitely going to be a great get, having lost Alonso, and he'll put in straight away next to our boy Preston Smith. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Preston Brown, not Preston Smith. Preston Brown.
Yeah, so. That's our boy from last year. Scott, you got back-to-back now with Houston and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Houston was an interesting one here. I was looking to go wide receiver, but with a few of the guys that have come off the board, I thought maybe they can wait. It's a very deep class. And one of the big knocks I had on Houston last year was that inability to actually draft a quarterback. So I'm going to have an interesting pick here and take Brent Hundley from UCLA off the board just for the hell of it. He's a prospect guy. He's not going to slot in straight away. He's the kind of guy who 2-3 years down the line, hopefully he can develop, or at the very worst uses a trade chip in future drafts. But I sort of felt this was a nice little spot. You know, going into the last season at UCLA, there was Heisman talk around him. Didn't have the season that we thought he was going to have, but I have him as the third best quarterback, and I feel as though this pick here sort of makes a bit of sense to start thinking about him.
Next pick, you had another trade. I'm shocked.
Well, funnily enough, I've got the Eagles now trading back. So the Eagles did own this pick. As I said, Eli Harrod was on the radar. Now that he's gone, I've got Pittsburgh actually doing their second trade-up of the draft. Which I actually forgot about when I made this trade, but screw it, we've made the trade. And I'm going to have them fill in their lot with Paul Dawson's the kind of guy who I think he's got that see ball, get ball mentality. He does have a few character issues in terms of rubbing coaches the wrong way. Not a great teammate, but if there's any culture in the league, especially defensively, that enables a guy to sort of get his head on the right way, Pittsburgh does seem like that kind of team. So I think Pittsburgh would love to have Paul Dawson on their team. And I think he's definitely a top 50 guy. So at 52, I think it's about time to jump up and get him.
Yeah, absolutely. And Laurie, you're a Dawson fan.
As far as on-team study goes, absolutely. I mean, you said see ball, get ball. He is a playmaker. The first like four plays of any game tape you see, he's in and around the ball or cutting someone down in the backfield. You know, the coaching issues are there, but what senior presence remains in Pittsburgh, not a bad place to come and hopefully iron out and smooth out some of those questions.
Yep. Moving on before we hit the hour mark, so we're going to wrap this thing up. And Cincinnati have selected Devin Funchess from Michigan. I like the pick because they've got concerns at the tight end position, and he can play, you know, that Jimmy Graham role at wide receiver and at tight end. Max Williams could have been an option for Cincy, but I like the pick for Cincinnati, another weapon for Dalton. Do we agree, boys?
Yeah, I definitely like this pick. He's the kind of guy who probably could slip to the third round, but you know, it's a good little pickup. Cincinnati outside of AJ Green. Can you really trust Mohamed Sanu to be a real threat? So Devin Funchess is a decent pickup for them.
Yeah, Laurie, your thoughts on that one quickly before you wrap up your next pick?
Yeah, I just think it's a good spot because I hope that he can learn some of the techniques that you get from a technician like AJ Green, and that's what needs tightening up with Funchess's game. As for my next pick, though, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the exodus of defensive tackles in Detroit, and I'm gonna give Haloti Ngata a little running mate with Grady Jarrett. This guy's a guy I love out of Clemson. Like, just penetrates right off the ball from the three tech position. He makes plays behind the line of scrimmage, and contrary to contrasting to what he got from Fairley and Sue last year, this is a mature leader on a team.
Absolutely. You're wise beyond his years. You only had to listen to him interview for Daniel Jeremiah's Move the Sticks to hear that. And I think you've done a great job for Detroit as the GM. Kevin Johnson and Grady Jarrett out of your first two rounds, you know, Terrell Austin will be a happy man. All right, we'll move on to Arizona, who ignored Melvin Gordon in round one, but they're happy to pick up Tevin Coleman here in round two. You know, he was a star for Indiana behind what is a fairly terrible offensive line and fairly terrible offense. He was Indiana's offense last year, and teams knew that, and they stacked the box, but he still made plays. A lot of ugly plays, but I can't solely place that on him. I think with the improvements they made on the offensive line, I think Coleman is a big down-the-hill runner. That'll be a nice compliment to Andre Ellington. Scott?
This is the Eagles pick that they traded back with Pittsburgh, and I'm going to take Devin Smith out of Ohio State, their wide receiver threat. He's really only the kind of guy who could beat you with the long ball. He doesn't have a great route running history, but I think what they're going to do this year with that wide receiver position, they obviously picked up Josh Huff last year to play that wide receiver and special teams gunner. With Huff sort of, I guess, being promoted to more of a wide receiver, Devin Smith can sort of slot in and become that wide receiver slash special teams gunner and develop that ability with Chip Kelly to be a threat.
It's got a very good move and can really get separation. So if Mariota can, you know, land those deep balls, he could be a great addition to their team. Carolina and Josh Wooten have selected Amir Abdullah from Nebraska. They've lost D'Angelo Williams. They need to compliment Jonathan Stewart, who's had injury concerns in the past. They did pick Tyler Gaffney up last year, but a mix-up on the waiver wire meant that the New England Patriots sealed him up. So Amir Abdullah is a pretty good value pick there. Would you agree, Laurie?
Yeah, I think it's good value. You know, there's concerns over size, but this guy's an explosive runner. Whether he's going to have the holes and the galleys that he just simply burst through with no one near him in college in Carolina, when yet to see, they need to address that offensive line. But like you said, a nice compliment, nice change of pace, or potentially a new starter, considering the issues Stewart's had in Carolina.
Absolutely. That would be an interesting pick for fantasy drafts. Baltimore have addressed their wide receiver concerns in round one with Philip Dorsett, and they addressed their cornerback concerns. Matt Bungard, a Ravens fan, is still adamant that the Baltimore Ravens would be in the Super Bowl if they had a decent corner to cover Brandon LaFell. So they take Steven Nelson from Oregon State. He's a really good player, one of Dane Brugler's favorite players in the draft, and I really like him, and I think he's a tough physical player, good pairing with Jimmy Smith, who Baltimore have just re-signed. Scott, with your next pick?
Well, the Denver Broncos missed out on Ogbui before, but they can see Donovan Smith from Penn State sitting there, and that's a really good pick for them, I feel. He's very strong in the run game especially, and he's the kind of guy I think you can slot in perfectly. They do need to address that offensive tackle position, and having grabbed... who did they grab before? They grabbed someone else before.
Eddie Goldman.
Eddie Goldman, that's correct. I should know my own picks. You know, but that offensive tackle need that they didn't address before because of the loss of Ogbui, I think with Donovan Smith sitting here, that's a great value pick for the Broncos to go with.
Absolutely. And Laura, your thoughts on those last few picks before you give us your team's second round selection?
Well, I like Stevie Nelson. He's got the quick hips to go. He's got the speed to go. I like that he plays like he's the biggest dog in the park. I know that's something Dane stressed. I'm a big fan of that pick, and I see it filling a huge need and a really nice value at the end of round two. Donovan Smith, another good value pick for a Denver O-line that was all over the place. It was moving puzzles, and something with O-lines, if you can move out one piece and move in another with one move, that's what you want. But they didn't do that. It was multiple moves to solve one problem.
Yeah, Kubiak will fix that. All right, Dallas.
Well, this is a pick. Demaryius Randle's a guy I like in the second, third round kind of border, but this is something that I know a lot of guys, a lot of the reporters and insiders in Dallas are big on Demaryius Randle. Dallas has been looking for free safety since Woodson retired, so they're going to go back to his alma mater, ASU, the party school. I've been told it's the place to visit if you're in the area. And Demaryius Randle's the man that they're going to take and hope that he can help attack some of these weapons that are coming from the NFC East.
Yep. That's a solid pick there. I've seen a few reports of Demaryius Randle sneaking up into round one, which I think is a little bit nuts, but there's obviously talent there. Speaking of talent, Indianapolis, they had their eyes on Paul Dawson, but he went earlier to Pittsburgh, so they're happy to take Denzel Perryman, the linebacker, out of the U, reunites with Frank Gore. Not really, they didn't know, probably don't know each other. And Andre Johnson, but we'll continue that trend. And I think he's a tackling machine. I've got concerns about his coverage, but I think we need tacklers. DeQuell Jackson dropped off in his tackling. And there's a common trend every year in the playoffs, and that's LeGarrette Blount running over us for 300 yards and Jonas Gray running over us for 300 yards. So we need someone that can make plays and read holes and hit them hard and fast. And I think Denzel Perryman can do that. Scott?
Yeah, no, I definitely like that pick. That's a great pick for the Indianapolis Colts, and I know you were pretty happy when Perryman fell into your lap there.
Absolutely.
The Green Bay have the next pick, and I don't really have to tell too many people about what the tight end position means to Green Bay after what happened in January. I always thought that Green Bay were at their deadliest when they had a proper tight end. When Jermichael Finley was there, he was definitely a weapon. I did win a Super Bowl. There's a kid on the board who Brugler gives comparisons to Jason Witten, and you could definitely do a lot worse if you're a tight end than a guy who's probably going to make the Hall of Fame. So Max Williams.
That's blasphemy comparing to the Senator.
Yeah. So yeah, Max Williams will come off the board at Green Bay, and I think he'll slot in perfectly for Aaron Rodgers, and he won't use his face on special teams, which will hopefully be a big plus.
All right, we'll move on to... Seattle now, and Laurie.
Yeah, I also want to comment, the guy's got two X's in his last name, spelling Max. I'm a big fan of that, and a cheap plug for Hardcount. You might see a few of the greatest names in the draft coming up on this week's episode, but to
Please.
Seattle. To Seattle, I think offensive line is a glaring need, but I didn't like the value there. They do need some help at wide receiver, and a guy like Rashad Greene, who can operate at the short intermediary and deep levels, is the type of weapon that I would like to see working with Russell Wilson, and given his variety of routes, can really work some nice games and match up nightmares with Jimmy Graham.
Did you say routes or routes? I'll leave it.
No comment?
Yes. I like the pick, and just quietly on Max Williams, one more X and your borderline, Tucker Max category there with him. I like that. I hope you've got some really good names. I've seen a few on Hard Count, so I can't wait to watch the name special. All right, the last pick of our exercise here was Josh Rutten and the New Orleans. I can say that in round one. It's not fun when New Orleans is above New England in round one, but round two they've selected Trey Jackson, guard. That feels a need for them. Would you agree, gentlemen?
I definitely agree. I thought that was a very solid pick to win the second round.
Yeah, it was a name that I was tossing up with Seattle as well, so I think coming off the board there's right on time.
Perfect. So that's our two-round mock draft. So after a few days of this, we've got to let people listen to it. We've got to let them listen to it before we post the results. Some surprise omissions, fellas. I'll just run off the list quickly. Jordan Phillips, Benedict McKinney, Jay Ajayi, Daniil Hunter, Semi Coates, Kyle Davis, Lorenzo Malord, Trey Flowers, Michael Bennett, and Duke Johnson. Out of those names, Laurie, is there someone that surprises you that didn't make that list?
Yeah, I think Jordan Phillips will go. I'm personally not a fan. He's distinct of Rashid Hagerman from last year.
Yeah,
I see. You know, he's built with all you could possibly hope for, but the focus, the attention, the effort just isn't there. But I think somebody will take a pick because coaches think that they can light the fire under the arse that gets the guy over the line.
From you, Scott, any name on that list that jumps out at you?
Yeah, I can think, considering that the amount of running backs that were taken, Jay Ajayi not being one of them was a bit of a surprise. I'm not going to knock the running backs that came off the board, but I personally have Ajayi as the third-rated running back.
The concerns of the knee are really troubling for me. I can see him slipping to the third or fourth round. I'm not sure. I haven't spoken to you about this, Laurie, but your thoughts on that as well?
Look, I'm not Dr. James Andrews, but no cartilage is not a good thing. That's what I know about knees, and that's what Ajayi is dealing with. Now, if a team thinks, you know what, he'll play 5 years, and that's cool because that's all we're going to have him for, sure. But that's certainly going to cause a slip.
I have no problem with Scott having him in. I had him as the third-ranked running back before the knee concerns, but I moved Tevin Coleman ahead of him. So that's our two-round mock draft. I think it was a fairly successful exercise. Apart from the technical issues that have hindered us today, I hope next year when we have you both on again, we'll have the technical issues fixed up and we'll actually have Woot back from Western Russia or Europe, wherever he is, from the soccer riots. And we'll get that job done. Before I let you both go, we'll start with you, Laurie. Anything you want to plug in your Twitter feed where people can find you?
You know, I'm found in all the usual places on Twitter at Laurie Horesh, LaurieHoresh. And, you know, Hard Count, something we've had going for one season. We're in for a little draft special and encourage anybody to come check it out on foxsports.com.au and just part of the really good kind of uprising NFL educated conversation that's going on Twitter and social.
Absolutely. And I recommend Laurie and Mel that do Hard Count from Fox Sports. I'm a fan of their work. I really appreciate what you guys do. Are you on board for season two of Hard Count?
Look, right now we're going ahead with good plans, looking forward for that. I think we're in a new studio for the draft special. Me and Mel are both very excited. Mel's brought all her wackiness, which she'll love me saying. She loves being called that. We're fired up. She's got a couple of sleepers coming as well. Some good tape studies gone into her work ahead of the draft.
Awesome. And you're a Sydney sider, so we may see you at the King Street Brewhouse on draft day.
Could very well be making an appearance if I draw myself far away enough from the Dallas Cowboys war room cam.
Solid. And Scott, everyone knows where to find you, but you know, refresh their memories. There might be one or two that's, you know, come to the party late.
Well, if you come in for the party late, you can always reach me at Sportrepreneur on Twitter. I won't spell it like Laurie did his, because personally I have trouble spelling it myself, but I'm sure if you go to the Woot and Why page, you'll see my name floating around there. I don't have a show on Fox Sports, although if Fox Sports are listening, Laurie put in a good word for me, so I don't have anything like that to try and plug, but certainly AUS Recruit, still doing great work trying to send Australian athletes over to the US. Obviously, with a draft like this where you're dealing with college athletes, it's an exciting time to see guys go from that school level up into the pros. So that's obviously a graduation process. And so is AUS Recruit, helping young high school athletes and potentially people who may have aspirations of going pro in not only sports but other areas like academics. So go to AUS Recruit on Twitter and you can check out all the great work we do there.
Awesome. And before I let you guys go, you've got... You do obviously competing in our mock draft competition, I assume.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
I just want a quick over under that you guys are going with on the form for bolo ties in the draft.
Scott, I'll let you take the lead there.
Well, I'm on the record as being a bow tie guy rather than a bolo tie. I think there'll be zero bolos. I think the hipster trend will go with the bow ties over bolo. Unless Philip Rivers makes a sneaky appearance in a trade somewhere, he might be doing a very off-the-cuff press conference in a bolo, but apart from that, zero.
If you put the line at 0.5 for me, I'm going to go over. I think somebody emerges from the south and does a little representing.
Yes, I love the presence of a bolo tie. We're doing our Woot and Why drinking game again, so we're going to put bolo tie on that list. So we'll release that in the next coming day. We're going to update the board. It's still got the things from last year on it, so we'll update the bolo tie on there. For me, my bold prediction is Marcus Mariota after the trade, if he's wearing a bolo tie and ends up at the Chargers, I'm going to lose it. Thanks, boys, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Enjoyed it very much. Enjoy the draft, everyone.
Yep.
No, much appreciated. Thanks for having me on, mate. It's a pleasure.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. All right, so that was Scott Langford from AUS Recruit and Laurie Horridge from Fox Sports with our two-round mock draft. So as I said to them, in a few days, I will release it on Thursday before the draft, so you can have a look at our draft board, all the pretty colours from the trades and how we performed the exercise. And that's it from us. So enjoy draft day. We hope you enjoyed our previews. We're the only program in Australia that had Dane Brugler, Shane Hallam, and Josh Liskowitz on it, so enjoy that top quality draft analysis. And even Laurie today, he watches a lot of game tape, and he is really good on the scouting terms, and has done a lot of coaching overseas in America, so very well qualified. And Scott and myself have watched a lot of tape, and same with Wooten. You can see with his picks, he's been on the money with a lot of those picks. So fantastic. Enjoy the draft, and if you want to have a drink with us, come down to King Street Brewhouse on draft day and shout us a beer. Peace.